Welcome to the Dollars and Cents Radio Show with your host, accountant and author Carol Topp, the homeschool CPA. Carol takes confusing topics such as money and business and puts them into clear English. She's ready to share her knowledge with you on today's show.
Hi, everybody. This is Carol Topp from homeschoolcpa.com here with another podcast for homeschool leaders. And in this short episode, I want to talk to you about what you need to do if you change leaders and what organizations you need to notify when there's been a change, either a change of leaders or a change of your address. Okay. You probably change leaders fairly frequently, so you need to keep track of whose address you might be using. A lot of homeschool groups don't have a permanent address, and so they're using the address of one of the leaders. So it's very important that you keep your important papers in a binder, and I've created one called the Homeschool Organization Board Binder. It's a template. It's a Word document where you can create your own board binder to keep important papers. You can find this template. It's a Word document that I sell that you can print out copies for your board members. You can find it over at my website, homeschoolcpa.com. Go under the bookstore, the product pages, and look for the Homeschool Organization Board Manual. But in there, I explained that basically there's a couple different organizations you're going to have to notify if your address changes. Okay, let's just talk about address changes first, and then we'll talk about how you tell and who you tell when your board members change. But let's pretend you're going to change your address because you used one board member and now she's going off the board and you need things to come to a different address. First of all, you want to change your address with the IRS. And every year, you should be notifying the IRS that you are still an organization that exists. You need to maintain your tax exempt status by filing one of the Form 990s. Most of you are probably filing the Form 990N, called the electronic postcard, every year, and that's the form you have to file with the IRS to maintain your tax exempt status. Okay, by the way, if you don't have tax exempt status, then you should be filing some other tax form, probably a corporate income tax return or maybe a sole proprietorship tax return. And it's on that tax return, or in this case, the 990N, which is an information return, you just put your new address in. Just type the new address. That's easy. That's how you tell the IRS, hey, my address has changed. But think back in time a little bit. You probably also applied to get an employer identification number, an EIN, either when you opened up your checking account or when you set up your organization as a nonprofit or something like that. But chances are, at some point in your history, your group applied for an employer identification number. Now, hopefully you have that very precious letter from the IRS assigning your employer identification number, your EIN, and hopefully you're keeping that, in a sleeve or a plastic or some or laminated in your board binder. But you need to change that address as well. And this time the IRS has a form. The IRS loves their forms. And this is how you can change the contact information and the address on your employer identification number. Okay? That's not going to be the same as what I just talked about, you filing the address of the annual information return. This would be a little more, I guess, permanent type of record. Okay? And the form you use to change either the address or the individual's name who's associated with your EIN, they call it the responsible party, is a form 8822-B, like in boy. And you can find this form 8822-B on irs.gov. So just Google irs.gov form 8822-B, and it's officially called change of address or responsible party for a business. Now, don't be freaked out by the word business if you're a nonprofit. It's just the IRS means business as opposed to individual. And you just, explain that you now have a new mailing address and you now have a new responsible party. And they will ask for the new responsible person's Social Security number. There's always a Social Security number tied to an employer identification with the IRS. That is just their requirement. So that's a pretty easy form to file to either change your address or to change the responsible party, the individual associated with your employer identification number. And that's an important thing to do. So be up to date on who is on your employer identification number And if you don't know, because you don't have, you know, the original letter, you can always call the IRS, go to irs.gov, and maybe even put in the 8822-B and see what phone number you can call to find out, you know, whose name and whose address is on this employer identification number. Because even to change it, you have to know who's currently on your employer identification number. Okay, so that pretty much takes care of the IRS. Change your address on your annual information return, the 990s, and change it on your employer identification number by using the 8822B. But now there's your state level. Okay, and there's kind of different kinds of organizations and agencies at your state level that might want to know about your address change. Let's start with the Secretary of State. The Secretary of State is the agency that registers businesses in the state. So if you have filed for nonprofit corporation status in your state, and many of you have, you would notify the Secretary of State that you've changed your address. You're going to have to go Google your particular state's Secretary of State office to find out how you change your address. Some states require an annual update. They want to find out what organizations are still active in the state, and every year they have you check in. Especially if you're a nonprofit corporation, every year they want you to file something with the Secretary of State, and that's how you can update your address. Okay. The other organization at the state level that might want to know about your change of address would be the Attorney General. That part of the state is the one that cares about whether you're doing charitable solicitation or fundraising as a charity. And they may or may not have regular reporting requirements as well. But if you are having to report regularly to your Attorney General, then probably on your annual report you change the address. Okay. There's one other place where you need to change your address or change the contact person, and that is what's called a registered agent. If you became a nonprofit corporation in your state, and again, many of you have, you had to fill out something called the Articles of Incorporation or Charter of Incorporation, and you had to assign a person called a registered agent. This is a person who is a resident of your state who should always know how to get a hold of you guys in case there's ever any official paperwork that the state needs to send you or, God forbid, a court summons. Okay, so usually the Secretary of State's office has a procedure whereby you can change the registered agent. So let's pretend when you started, your registered agent was one of your board members. That's very typical. And now that board member has left the board, wants to be taken off of being a registered agent. She may not even remember that she agreed to be a registered agent, but she wants to be taken off. Go to your Secretary of State's website, look for Change of Registered Agent form. There's usually forms. Sometimes there's a small fee involved as you change your registered agent. So obviously that's something you're not going to do very often. You might want to pick somebody who you think is going to be around for a while. The board member who was your original registered agent can stay as your registered agent so long as she agrees to keep in touch with your organization. As a matter of fact, I'm the registered agent for a local homeschool group because they figured I would always know how to get in touch with the organization even if their membership changed. And it's true, I still keep in touch with them even though their original membership of the board has changed. I still know how to get in contact with them. And I got a letter recently from the state of Ohio where we both reside. And they said, oh, it's time to file, you know, every 5 years. The state of Ohio wants to know that the corporation still exists. And fortunately, I contact them right away and say, hey, there's a form you guys need to fill out. So anyway, that's your registered agent. And again, that's at the Secretary of State. So that's the kind of work you need to do whenever you want to change your address. You have to, change it at least two places with the IRS. Your annual information return, and your employer identification number form, that 8822-B form will help you do that. And then you probably need to change your address or your point of contact with a couple different agencies with your state, the Secretary of State probably being the most important, but also perhaps the Attorney General. So if you're confused and you think, I've never done anything with my state, I don't know if I'm supposed to be reporting anything annually to the Attorney General or to my Secretary of State. Well, that's where I can help. I've done research on a lot of different states, and I hope organizations know not only what, you know, it takes to get tax-exempt status with the IRS, but also what reporting their states need. If you'd rather do the research yourself, I'll give you the name of two websites, and I'll put them in the show notes that you can find over at homeschoolcpa.com/podcast. But I use two sources. One is called Hurwit Associates, H-U-R-W-I-T Associates.com. They're a group of attorneys who help nonprofits, and I use their website to start my research. And then also I use another one called HarborCompliance.com, I think. Harbor, like ships in a harbor, H-A-R-B-O-R, Harbor Compliance. And they're another organization that has a lot of information, a big old database and a big old website. But if you look around enough, you will find that they have information by each state of what's required. Some of that's a little confusing to read. So, again, if you find it confusing and not sure what your state, what your organization needs to be doing to be compliant with your state, you know, drop me an email, Carol@HomeschoolCPA. I like helping homeschool organizations stay compliant with the laws and keep up to date on what is going on. And that's why I blog. That's why I do this podcast, to keep you successful in running your organizations and blessing all the homeschool families that you help. So thanks again for all that you do, homeschool leaders out there. If I can help you do a better job, I'm a very happy person. So I hope this podcast has been helpful to you, understanding who to notify when your address or when your board members change. Take care, everybody, and keep up to date. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining the Dollars and Cents Radio Show with Carol Topp here at the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. For more helpful information, visit Carol at her website, homeschoolcpa.com.